I have the privilege to introduce to you a great friend of Jessica and I's, Pastor Whitney. Would you guys put your hands together for Pastor Whitney? We're excited that she's out here with us. Glad that she came to bring the word. She has got a word on her heart. So one thing that we can do in the room to be respectful and honor what God wants to do and Pastor Witt is to stay off of our phones and stay out of the bathrooms. So let's try to stay in the room until we get to the end of service here. We'll let you guys out in just a little bit, and then we'll be able to party some more and have a great time. But for now, let's turn our attention to Jesus and Pastor Witt, all right? All right.
Well, what's up, ROL Youth, y'all? I've been trying to say ROL Youth like multiple times. I'm going to tell you the number of times that it took me to make that video because ROL is hard to say, okay? Have you ever tried saying ROL 10 times fast? Real quick, do it, real quick. No, it doesn't work, okay? I was like, yo, I must be talking too fast, but I'm so excited to be with you guys here today. Like you said, my name is Whitney, and I have the awesome privilege of knowing your youth pastors, and I come all the way from the great state of Arizona. Anybody go to Arizona? You hang out in Arizona sometimes. Okay, here's what I found. I found like Arizona is like the hot spot that Minnesotans visit, okay? But I grew up in Michigan and our hot spot was Florida, but it's so fun in Arizona because I get to meet all these Minnesotans all the time and I'm like, yo, I'm from Minnesota. But I'm not actually anymore. But I did live here for 6 years, and it was some of the best years of my entire life. But I'm so excited to be with you guys today. And I just want you real quick, I want to give honor where honor is due, okay? The Bible says that honor paves a way for God to move. And here's the deal. I don't want a single thing to stand in between what God wants to do tonight. And so here's what I want to do. I want you guys to honor your youth pastors, because here's the deal. I've had the privilege of knowing Jessica since she was a teenager, since she was a middle schooler. I was actually her youth pastor, which is pretty crazy. And so I've had the privilege of just seeing God work in her life and see her step into her calling in ministry. And then I met Cole a little later down the road, and it's just been so cool. I've been the biggest fans of them since God has brought them together. But here's what I want you guys to know, that you have some of the best youth pastors in the entire world. And I'm not just saying that, like, no cap. Like, I'm not just over here trying to, like, hype them up, okay? Like, truly, you have some of the best youth pastors. And the reason that I say that is because they come and they love Jesus with all their heart. But secondly, they love each other, okay? Next, which is their next ministry. But at the end of that, they love you guys. They are constantly saying, yo, what God is doing here, like, we've just got to look for ways to make this thing better, to make this thing bigger, because we've got to reach more people. Because if we can get teenagers to understand how much God loves them, then everything would change, the world would change. And these are your youth pastors that are constantly saying, we're going to do this thing, and we're not just going to do it small for Jesus, we're going to go big for Jesus. So here's what I need you to do. While you are here in this room, in the 4, 5, 6 years that you might be underneath their leadership, okay, I need you to lean in. I need you to get excited. I need you to respect them. I need you to say, God, these people that you've brought into my life, it's not on accident. It's because they have the ability to pull out all of the God potential that's inside of me. And I promise you, if you can do that, then there is no limit to what God can do with your life. Amen? Amen. So can we give it up for your youth pastors one more time? Give it up, because they're amazing. They're amazing. Well, like I said, my name is Whitney, and I have the privilege of being an connection pastor over at Impact Church in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I've got some important people that I want to introduce you to, okay, that couldn't be with me today, all right? Up here, I've got my husband. He is that milk chocolate boy up there, okay? Beautiful man of God, all right? I know. He was in Minnesota at a time, and all the girls loved him, too, but it's okay. I secured the bag with him, all right? His name is Darrison. Jason. I love him. We met each other serving the church. We met each other on a serve team one day. And you know what? Here's a little tip for your future. Not right now, okay? But for your future, okay? Serve God's house and he'll build your life, okay? He will bring people into your life. Maybe you'll meet your spouse serving Jesus. Amen, okay? And then my next two, I've got my four-year-old who is in Darrison's hands. Her name is Blaze, okay? She does not look like she wants to be in this picture, okay? She does not like family photos. But here's the deal. Blaze is incredible. She was the best first child that I ever had. Made me think that I could have 500 kids, okay? But then I had a second child. That smirk, that little smile right there. That is Pace. She is my wonderful three-year-old, okay? And she is crazy, okay? She has made me rethink my decision for more children. Just kidding. She's amazing. I love her so much. And I just wanted to share a little bit of my family so that you guys can feel a little bit more comfortable. Because here's the deal. When I come to places, I just kind of feel like we're already family. It's actually super fun because I was like walking through this room and I was like, why do I recognize so many people in this place? It's because first off, I am a faithful follower of your guys' TikTok, okay? So if you have been on the TikTok page, all right, I follow that thing. But then secondly, where's the mission trip people that went to Hawaii? Mission trip people, let's go, let's go. So those people, that's actually my family that you did the mission trip with, okay? And so it's so cool how everything has come together, but we're going to get right to it. I believe that God has sent me on an assignment. Say assignment. Assignment. And I'm going to ask you to talk back a lot because that's just how I roll, okay? And so he sent me on an assignment today. And I just believe that if you can get a hold of what it is that I'm about to preach to you, I believe that it's going to change your way as you walk as a Christ follower. I believe it's going to widen the reach of influence that you're going to have in your life to lead people to Jesus. And I believe that it's going to make you wake up with this like unshakable urgency to walk in the way that God has laid out for you. So if you're ready, say, I'm ready. There you go, I know. Yeah, we're gonna try again. Say, I'm ready. There we go, thank you. Open up your Bibles to Numbers 13. I apologize. Matthew's not even in my message at all, but it's okay. Numbers 13, verse 18. And here's what it says. It says, we're going into a story right here where Moses is leading the Israelites and God comes to Moses and tells him, hey, there's this land that I'm going to give to you, but I need you to send 12 people to go and explore the land before you go. And so that's where we pick up. And it says, Moses is talking to the 12 leaders that he sent out and it says, see what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or is it bad? What kind of town do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? It says, how is the soil? Is the fertile pool? Is it fertile or is it poor? Are there trees in it or not? It says, do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. We continue on into verse 30. This is after they went and explored the land. It says that they came back to Moses with a report. They reported to him, to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit. This is what we found when we went to the land. And they gave Moses this account. We went to the land, and it is true what you have sent us to. It does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there, they are very large. The city is very powerful, and the walls are fortified. It continues on, and a guy named Caleb, he raises up and he says, Caleb silences the people before Moses, and he says, we should go up and take possession of this land because we can do it, okay? He's like, we might be underdogs, but we can do this. Is that anybody else that just has like undeniable faith that even if we're like losing a game or something, you're like, we can do it? Yeah? Okay, good. I knew it would be you. Okay? All right? That's awesome. And he goes on. He says, we can certainly do it. But in verse 31, it says, but the men who had gone with him, they said, we cannot attack these people because they are stronger than we are. And they spread amongst the Israelites this bad report of the land that they had explored. It continues on to say that we saw giants there and we seemed like grasshoppers in their eyes and they looked the same to us. The title of my message today is, it's time to take ground. It's time to take ground. If you're taking notes, write that down. If not, write it down anyway, okay? Write it down on your phone or something. Tell your friend next to you, take some notes. It's time to take some ground. Would you guys pray with me? Dear Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in this youth ministry, God. We thank you for the way that you're going to show up, God. We thank you in advance for what you're going to speak tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray that it would change things. It would rearrange things, God. I pray that you would make a way where there feels like there's no way for these students, Lord. God, I pray that you'd show up to us in a very real way tonight, God. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Is anybody here territorial? Territorial, okay? You may be, okay, a little, some people admit, all right? But here's it, like, you're territorial. Like, if you go out to eat, you are ordering for yourself, right? Okay? And if you go out to eat and the food comes and your sibling or your friend or your mama or whoever try to take a bite of your food, you decide, do not eat my food. I'm going to bite you instead. Like, you're territorial like that. Like, I am not going to share my food, okay? Maybe you have a sibling that just loves to wear your clothes, okay, or take your things. And you know, if they borrow that thing, okay, you are never going to see it again, right? Okay, like, you're territorial. Like, that is mine. How about this one? Does anybody like to travel? Anybody like to travel? Okay. I need to know. I need a quick gauge of the room. For would you rather road trip or fly on an airplane? Where's my road trip people at? Road trip. Yes. Yes. Lord be with you all. Okay. Who would like to fly on an airplane? Airplane people. Yes. I like the airplane route because it is quick. It is easy. Here's the deal. I just flew on an airplane to get here today. I landed about 2:30. And when I got on that plane, I realized I am territorial, okay? There is nothing like being territorial when you are placed in the middle seat of an airplane, okay? That is nobody's preferred place to be, okay? If it is, you're a weirdo, okay? I said what I said. But it's sitting here in the middle, and it's territorial. And here's the issue that I had today is that the people that were sitting in the row with me, they clearly knew nothing about airplane etiquette, okay? Did you know that there's airplane etiquette? All right, if not, let me train you real quick, all right? If you are sitting in the window seat, you get one armrest next to the window, okay? This is important. This is going to help you and help the awkwardness as you fly on planes, okay? This one, because you get the convenience of leaning your head on the window, okay? So you get one, you don't get two, okay? Then we get the aisle seat person, right? They get one armrest because they get the option if they want to stand up, stretch out those legs, okay? If they have to go to the bathroom, they don't have to, like, fight till they have to cry to hold it, okay? Because they can just get up and go. Like, you only get one armrest. Now, if you are in the middle seat, from this day forward, I want you to know I give you permission to be territorial. I want you to sit down into your seat, okay? Cozy yourself in, slide up those sleeves, and put both of your arms on both armrests, okay? Because that is airplane etiquette. That is what you deserve. That is what the middle seat gets. And I love it because I get pretty territorial about that because I am like, you know what? I'm going to take what is mine, all right? I'm going to take what is mine. And here's the deal. If I have to go to the bathroom in a middle seat situation, forget it. Like, I'm not leaving, okay? Because if I leave, then I lose my territory, right? If I have to get something out of the overhead compartment that I put my bag in there, like, forget it. I'm not doing it. I'm going to suffer through the plane ride because I'm not losing my armrest, okay? It's a matter of a fact that when we go through places where we feel territorial about things, but then we forfeit things, we often give up things that were already ours. And what I've found a lot of times is that we live like this in our Christian life. We live like this as Christ followers, as if we're sitting on a plane in the middle seat of this airplane, and we don't want to assert ourselves in places that we feel like weren't meant for us. And we sit through this plane ride, and instead of being comfortable, instead of being in the way that things were designed for us, we would rather go about life feeling bothered and not doing anything about it because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Do I have any people pleasers in the room? Like, it's hard. You don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? We go through our life acting like we're sitting in this middle seat, and we don't want to hurt people by telling them the truth, right? So instead of telling them the truth because we don't know how they're going to respond, we let them go on and live their life without hope, without joy, without any sense of a future for themselves. And we'd rather just stay silent because we'd want somebody else to do it other than taking territory that belongs to us. Instead of taking territory to advance the kingdom of God. What I'm saying is that we have a lot of Christians that are okay being polite and not enough Christians that are okay being territorial for the kingdom of God. Young people, if you could get this in your heart tonight, if you could get this place where you're just like, you know what? What has always been is not good enough. The boundaries that the church has lived in, the boundaries that I've seen even laid before myself, it is not enough. I came here all the way from Arizona because I believe that God wants to stir urgency inside of you, young people. Urgency that says, I cannot sleep until I see God come. Urgency inside of you that says, I cannot go on with another day in my life until I see God move. We have too many people that tolerate everything that the enemy throws at us, and we don't have enough people that fight to push back and say, you know what? You won't take one more thing. You won't take one more thing that is not yours. I love it because the Bible tells us that Jesus is both a lion and he is a lamb. But he is a lion and a lamb. It's so funny because when you think about a lamb, okay, a lamb is like meek and humble, right? A lamb does not have much power. A lamb just kind of exists, right? Okay. But when you think about a lion is authoritative. Like a lion is the king of the jungle. A lamb isn't going to attack you. Okay. If it does, like if you get attacked by a lamb, then I'm so sorry. That's going to be a hard thing to live with. Okay. But a lamb's not going to attack you, but a lion is not something that you want to mess with. Right? Because there is power in a lion. A lamb is typically used to be a sacrifice that we see amongst time, while the lion is a protector and he is a predator and he is the thing that actually attacks, right? And I love it because the Bible describes Jesus as these two completely polar opposite animals, right? Yet, I don't think it's just by coincidence that he does it. There's significance even past Jesus fulfilling this idea of him being a lion and a lamb. And the significance is to show us that as his example, that there are different times and different situations that call for different approaches to spreading his name and to advancing his kingdom. There is a time to experience comfort and there is a time to be uncomfortable. There's a time to fall on the sword for people, and there's another time that you have to pick up the sword and actually fight for people. There's a time to be quiet, but there's also times that we need to speak up, that we need to speak up. What God has brought you out of in your life, it was not so that you could keep it quiet and keep it hidden and keep all of your past sins and secrets and all of these things. What he has brought you out of, he has brought you out of for a purpose to bring you into something more. He has brought you out of something to bring you into purpose that needs to be shared, that needs to be told, a story that needs to be shared with the world. Because here's the thing, just like the word of God says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That means that our voice, it has power, and there are times that we need to speak up. And if we begin to speak up, what will happen is you will begin to see new ground being taken in your life one step at a time. If you've ever wondered what your purpose is, here it is. It's actually not hard at all. It's actually the same command for every single person in this room. Matthew 28:18-19. Jesus came and told his disciples, "For I have given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Another translation, it reads that Jesus, without reservation, he went right ahead and he gave his charge. So he went to the people and he said, "This is why you're here. To go into all of the world and to tell people about me, to tell people about what I can do for them, to tell people who I am." And as you go into the whole world, what he says is that I have given you authority to do so. That means, young person, when you walk into your school, you don't walk in meek and shy and scared out of your mind. You walk in with authority and boldness, because there are some of you in this room that I believe that God has put inside of your hearts to start a Bible study on your campus, and maybe you've seen it done one way, and you feel like, oh, maybe that's not like really me, or my friends don't want to go to that one. Guess what? God's put something inside of you that your friends need, and maybe this next school year, he's trying to pull something out of you to say, hey, would you just walk in the authority that I've given you? Would you just begin to take new ground every single step that you go? Would you just get to a place of complete surrender and availability so that I can move through you? He wants you to take new ground. Turn to your neighbor and say, take new ground. You are made to advance the kingdom of God. You are made to take territory. Now, here's the thing about taking territory that we often don't think about. Is that when you're taking someone's territory, someone else is losing their territory. What do I mean by that? When you think about war and you think about battle, and I know you're on summer break and you're probably like, yo, I ain't trying to learn about the Civil War, all those things, okay? Like, I'm not going to give you all the details. Can be honest, I don't know them, okay? That I did not go to school for that. I went to school for the Bible, okay? And I ended up like, you know, here's the thing. Whenever someone is winning, somebody else is losing. It's pretty, it's one-sided, right? Like one or the other, right? So when this happens, when you begin to take ground for God, guess what? The enemy begins to take steps backwards. But here's a tactic of the enemy that you need to be aware of. He does not like you to win. He doesn't like you to win. So every single time you start to speak up for God, every single time you start to do something in the name of Jesus, every single time you start to tell people your story of what God's done inside of your life, you better get ready for a fight to break out. Because when he gets upset, he's going to get upset and he's going to make rejection. He's going to make all of your insecurities come out. Whether that's rejection or whether that is feeling like you doubt God, whether that's something of God, can you really use me? And these thoughts and these lies and these mind games, it's the greatest tactic that he uses. And today I want to help you understand three ways that he's going to try to fight you. Three ways that the enemy is going to try to fight you. And we're going to talk about that. But here's the deal. When we look back on the spies that went to the land of Canaan and they went on this mission to find out who was there and what was being produced there and if there was any possibility that they could possibly conquer this city, we see 12 leaders of the Israelites. They go to the land and they spy for 40 days on Canaan and they can't even believe what they've seen. But here's the deal. They come back with this thing that the Bible calls a bad report. Have you ever had someone in your life that is just like pessimistic about everything? Like, even if it was the best day ever, it was the worst day in their eyes. Like, they're just like, I'm gonna tell you every bad thing that happened. You're like, what? I was like, we did everything together today. Like, I did not see any of those bad things happen, but they saw every bad. Does anybody have a friend like that? You're like, yo, like, loosen up. Like, let's enjoy the ride, right? That's how Joshua and Caleb were feeling. Because out of the 12 people that went to this land, 10 of them were saying, you know what? The people are too big to conquer. The wall is too strong. The terrain is too difficult. I want to ask you today, what is keeping you from advancing in your life? What is it that is keeping you from taking ground and expanding your territory in your life? Because these 10 people, they had one perspective. But God, he saw it for what it really was. He saw it for what it really was, and that was excuses. Anybody have, like, people in your life that are just good excuse makers? Like, they can't take ownership of everything. They just kind of make excuse after excuse after excuse, and you're like, yo, like, come on. Like, was it really like that? Well, here's what it says in Hebrews 3:19. It says, this is God talking about the Israelites, and it says, so we see that because of their unbelief, say unbelief. Unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. One of those three things that can stop you from advancing in your life is your unbelief. It's the constant battle that you're going to have to fight. It's this unbelief. Why? Because the enemy is really good at being confusing. he's really good at making people doubt. He says, God says that the Israelites could not enter because of their unbelief. Numbers 13:31, we see it. The men who had gone up to him and said, they said, we can't attack them. These people are way stronger than we are. But here's the craziest part about all of this. I didn't even put this on the screen, okay? We're going to put it up there, but I didn't yet, okay? The craziest part about all of this is that the only reason that Moses went and picked out 12 people and said, hey, you 12 people, go explore the land, was because God told him to. Okay, Numbers 13, 1 through 3, it says, the Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. Who said it? The Lord. The Lord said to Moses, go do this. Go do this. All the Israelites had to do was believe that what God had asked them to do would come to pass. Because it continues on and it says, because this is the land that I am giving to the Israelites. And so Moses went and he got the 12 people and he did what God said to do. But guess what? There was a disconnect between Moses and the people. When they went, all that they saw was that we could not win. All that they did was make excuses for why they could not win. Young people, your whole life will give you opportunities to make excuses for why you can't walk in your calling. Your whole life will make excuses for why you can't live your faith to the most radical degree. But here's what I want to encourage you to do. If God said it in your life, he will do it in your life. You have got to get to a place where you're saying, you know what? I don't care if I'm confused. I don't care if there's like doubt in my mind. I don't care if there's unbelief amongst everybody else. God, if you said it in my life, then I am going to see it through. I'm going to see it through. I believe that some of you in this room might even be called to ministry one day. And that's like a really scary feat because maybe you haven't seen many people do ministry. Or maybe that's not like a normal thing that happens in your family line. But I really feel like there are some of you in here that are you're chickening out from what God's called you to because you're making every excuse as to why you cannot do it. But I have news for you that if God called you to it, he will see you through it. He will. The second thing that will keep us from taking new ground is intimidation. Say intimidation. Is anybody easily intimidated? Anybody like you're scared or you get anxious, like really, like you will not catch me watching a scary movie ever. Okay. I'm just gonna say like ever, like I will pee my pants in the first 5 seconds. Okay. Like I can't do it. All right. I love it because 10 of the 12 spies, they come back intimidated. They say we can't go to Canaan, but then there's two spies that are full of faith and their names are Joshua and Caleb. Now, at the beginning of this, the Bible actually makes mention of all of their names. It goes through and it says, Shamua, Shaphat, Caleb. I'm not even going to read them all because that's going to be hard. But he reads off the 12 names of these Israelites that went to Canaan, right? But here's the deal. The ones that were intimidated, they were never mentioned again. They were never mentioned again. But the two that were full of faith, the two that were saying, yo, we can take this new ground, what ended up happening is that they began to be these people that were so used by God that these other people, they didn't even understand. So here's a little advice for you, little life advice. Write this down. No one wants to remember someone who tells them what they cannot do. If you want to be remembered, tell people what they can do. If you want to be remembered, be somebody that sees what could be and call that out as if it was. If you're intimidated, but God instructed it, do it scared. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice that I had. Do you think that when I met my husband, I was like, yeah, like I'm so ready to get married. I felt it like I was, but like I was pretty terrified to marry someone, right? When I made the decision to leave Michigan and go to Minnesota at the age of 17 to attend North Central University, like, yeah, I was ready for a big adventure, but I was intimidated, right? The greatest piece of advice I ever received in my entire life was do it scared. If God has called you to it, do it scared because you'll never be able to see what unlocks on the other side of your fear if you don't do it scared. I think about a man named Abraham who over and over and over again, if you don't know Abraham, Abraham is like, he is like in the hall of faith. He's like an MVP in the hall of faith in the Bible. And on more than one occasion, God instructed Abraham, go to the land that I will show you. He never gives him a destination. He doesn't tell him what city to go to. He doesn't tell him how to get there. He just says, go to the land that I will show you. It's pretty open-ended. But the problem with this command is that there's no definitive next step. The instruction is walk and I will lead you. Walk until I say stop. Go until I tell you not to go anymore. And the first time that God tells Abraham this is when he instructs him to leave his home and to leave everybody that he's ever known. The second time that God tells him this is when God instructs Abraham to take his son to be sacrificed on a mountain. He says, go to the mountain that I will show you. It's open-ended. And I've learned that intimidation, it will test your obedience and it will test your faith. Intimidation is not something that you should run from. If you're intimidated, do it scared and do it anyway. Because what it will do is it will reveal where you are actually at when it comes to your faith and when it comes to your obedience level. And the reason those things are so important is because the amount of how obedient you can be and the amount of how much faith you can have when it doesn't make sense will be the equivalent to the ways that God can use you. It'll be the thing that takes the limit off how God can use you. I want you to ask yourself next time you feel intimidated, God, are you testing my obedience? Or God, are you testing my faith? Are you testing me to like think outside the box? Are you testing me to depend on you more? Or are you testing me just to do the small steps, even though they feel like little things now, but there's a greater picture to be seen at the end of this. The last thing that will keep you from taking ground, you can write this down. Number three is short-sighted vision, okay? Short-sighted vision. Another name for this is the grasshopper complex, okay? The grasshopper complex. The 10 spies, they came back and they shared this bad report with everyone about what they saw. It was this short-sighted vision, and it picks up in 13, Numbers 13, 32 through 33, and it says, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, the land that we explored, it devours those who are living in it. And all the people that are there, they were of great size. We saw giants there, and we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. It's this grasshopper complex, this short-sighted vision that makes you see things that are not reality. It makes you see things that are not real, where you look at yourself and you say, you know what, I'm too small to conquer the giants in my life. They were thinking if we try, then we die. Like, this is not worth the fight. And here's the issue with short-sighted vision is that the more that you see through it, the more used to it that you become. The worship team can come back up. And here's the thing. Does anybody in here, do they wear, anyone wear glasses or eye contacts? Contacts. Okay, yes. Yes, my blind people. That's me, okay? Like, I have worn contacts since I was like 10 years old, okay? And here's the deal. I've worn my contacts for so long that seeing through my contacts has become my new normal. When I take them out, it is so bad. Like, I can't see anything. Like, I can't see up from down, left to right, dark from light. Like, I don't even know, okay? I can be honest. I don't even know if I got contacts in the first place because I couldn't see far away or I couldn't see close. Because right now, I can't see either, all right? That is, like, where I'm at. I've gotten so used to seeing with my contacts that I don't even remember why I started wearing them in the first place. The longer that you walk around with short-sighted vision, the more blind you will become in your life. The more that you see through the lens of a grasshopper, and you're looking at this thing, and you're looking at it from your physical eyes instead of from your spiritual eyes, instead of from the way that God wants you to see it, the more that you look at your problem or your situation in the way that feels natural and the way that you feel, okay, then guess what? You are going to start walking in a way where you all that you can see is blindness, where all that you can see is short-sighted vision. You can't even begin to imagine what God can do in your life because you are so used to seeing through one lens. And you can't take territory for the kingdom of God if you are walking around blind. If you're walking around blind, the 10 spies, they were looking at their physical bodies, and then they were looking at these giants, and they were like, yeah, ain't no way. Like, if I try to fight that dude, like, that's for sure the end of me. And then they're looking at how good the fruit is, and they're saying this is the land of milk and honey. Like, it is so beautiful in here. Like, if God gave us this land, and they're looking at it, and they're saying, you know what? But God couldn't give this to us, because how are we supposed to get there? Young people, throughout your walk with God, you'll have situations where you see things that are way too big for you to face on your own. And you'll look at these things, and if you look through it with a short-sighted mindset and a short-sighted vision, then yes, what you will see is what will be. But I want to encourage you to start looking through things with the lens of God that says, no, God, if you told me to go somewhere, then guess what? No matter what battles I fight along the way, no matter how insecure I feel being there, no matter how lonely it might feel when I'm in this place, God, if you called me to be there, then guess what, God? I'm going to choose to look at this thing. I'm going to look at this battle in front of me. I'm going to look at all the things that are going so wrong in front of me. And I'm going to say, God, would you help me see what you see? And the moment that you shift yourself from seeing what you feel and from seeing what feels natural, and you shift to this mindset and to this place where you say, God, help me see what I cannot see, then guess what? You stop seeing just the small steps that are in front of you, and you see what's on the other side. You see what he's laid out in your future. You see that maybe I don't even know the next steps that are in front of me, but I know the God that's leading me. And so guess what? I'm not going to cave to the pressure. I'm not going to cave to the insecurity. I'm not going to cave to the fear that's right in front of me. No, I'm going to be like Joshua and Caleb, and I'm going to go back. And instead of saying all of the negative things that I see happening, I'm going to lean on the positive that, yes, this is what God said it would be. This place that he's called us to, the calling that he has on your life, it's what he said it would be. You've got to stop looking at your age as short-sighted vision. Stop looking at where you're at right now as if God cannot use you, because here's the deal. If you put it back in God's hands, he'll use you instantly. The Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Guess what? I believe that if some teenagers could rise up in the room this summer even, and you'd start sowing some deep roots, and you'd start getting in your word like never before, and you not sit here and go through all of the motions of church and go through all the motions, but then go home and you're like, yeah, I'll see you in a month. And you just kind of like live your life however you want. And then you come back to this place and you try to feel natural in the presence of God. It's not going to work if there's not consistency in your life. You're going to feel distant, and it's not because God is running from you. It's because you don't have any consistency in your life. He doesn't want this to be a one-off occasion. He wants time with him to be every single day. The only way that you can move from seeing things with a short-sighted vision is if you say, God, I'm going to put in the work to know who you are. I'm going to put in the work to read your truth and be able to stand on it. I'm going to put in the work to pray, even when I don't know what to pray. And even if I'm saying the same thing over and over again, I'm going to draw near to you. I'm going to draw close to you. And as I do that, God, would you do what I cannot do on my own? I believe that he wants to give some of you guys new lens of faith in this room. For you not to just see through one vision, but to see through two, and to see through the one that has the power to change you and to change circumstances in your life. It's hard to get what you need from God when you have inaccurate reports of what's actually going on. Some of you have friends that tell you their advice on everything. That's good if they know God, right? But at the end of the day, I'm not taking anybody's advice except God. Because what I know about my life and what I know about what he wants to do through my life, it has to be protected. You've got to protect what God has put inside of you. And sometimes that means silencing the voices that are around you. It says in Numbers 13:18 that when they got back to the camp, it says that Caleb, he silenced the people. Because they were talking and they were giving inaccurate reports and they were giving false reports and they were talking with fear. I don't know if he like did this whole like thing where he was like, and like got the people to be quiet because they like responded, or if he was like silencio, or if he was just like, I don't know what he did, but he silenced the people enough to be able to speak up and to be able to say what God is actually doing. If you want to take new ground for God, you have got to become an expert at silencing people in your life that have short-sighted vision for you. Because what will happen is they will pass on their regrets, they will pass on their insecurity, they will pass on their pessimism, and they will pass those things on to you where you'll be walking around and you'll be saying, I can't even see God in this. It's because you're surrounded by people that need to be silenced. Silenced. You've got to become experts at silencing people that want to complain all the time, that want to criticize all the time, that want to gossip to you all the time, that want to have a competitive spirit. You have to be a silencer if you want to be close to God, because you will not be able to hear God, to advance his kingdom, if you have all these other voices just talking at you all the time. And just like my bad vision has become normal for my life, your ability to tolerate nonsense, it'll now be your lid in your life. You've got to silence people so that you can see God. The other day I was at the mall with my husband, and we were driving around. It was packed. We had my kids in the car. They were screaming. It was hot, like 112 degrees. Okay, it was hot. And we're driving around and we're looking for parking in the mall. Like 20 minutes later, we finally see some people leaving the mall. And I was like, babe, chase them down. Like, we're going to get their car. Okay, anybody ever stalk people like as they leave the mall? Okay, well, we're stalking these people as they're going back to their car. And they're walking down our aisle and then they split across. And I'm like, yo, those people played us. Like, they made it look like they were coming. I was so mad, right? And so all of a sudden we see a car go down the aisle to where they're parked. And I'm like, no. Like, I waited too long for this parking spot. So you want to know what I did? I embarrassed my husband, okay? I got out of my car. I ran across that parking lot. And as soon as that car pulled out, guess what? I stood in that spot. People were so mad at me, y'all. I know, I looked crazy, okay? I looked crazy. And I'm standing in my spot. I have my phone. I'm waiting for him. I'm like, babe, come a little quicker. Like, come a little quicker. I'm standing there, and the first lady, she drives by, and she's, like, looking at me, like, what are you doing? Like, but, you know, she didn't want to confront me, so then she just kind of drove past. Well, then the next guy, he was okay confronting me, and he was like, yo, get out of the spot. I want the spot. I was like, I'm so sorry. And I just started praying. It's like, I don't know what's about to happen right now. But I stood in the spot, and guess what? My prayer, it worked. It scared him away, okay? He flipped me off as he left, but guess what? We were good after that. I'm never going to see him again, all right? All of a sudden, my husband, he pulls around the corner. He pulls into this spot. He looks at me, and he said, I cannot believe you just did that. Now, here's something to know about me. I'm okay being confrontational. And I'm also okay at, like, channeling my inner Karen at sometimes, okay? Because here's the deal. If it's for me, I'm going to get what's for me. If it's put in my life and it's for me, then nothing is going to stop me from getting it. Young people, I need some of you to get some of that, where you're okay being confrontational if it means that God is glorified at the end of the day, where you're okay pulling out that inner Karen if it means that people are going to come to the truth and the reality of who God is. Guess what? If it's for you, I need you to reach deep down and say, God, if it's from you and it's for me, then there's nothing that is going to stop me from seeing it come to pass in my life. Do I have any people in this room that are saying, you know what? Like, I want to see what God has for me. I'm not going to let somebody else take it from me. I'm going to advance into new territory. I'm going to take ground back as things feel like they're constantly being taken from me and out of my control. No, I'm going to press in and I'm going to get what God has made for me. Would you stand to your feet all over this room? What you are doing now is setting foundation for what you will do later. What you do now in your teenage years is setting the foundation for how you will fight battles later on in your life. The way that you approach God now and you seek after God now, it's setting the foundation for what it will look like when you graduate outside of this room. you don't have time to not be serious about this. Because right now are the moments that matter the most. It's the foundational shaping years of your faith, of saying, I'm not going to let unbelief keep me from what God has for me. I'm not going to let this game of intimidation keep me from what God has for me. I'm not going to let my short-sighted vision of what I see that doesn't really measure up keep me from what God has for me. I'm going to fight for it. And I'm going to advance, even as the enemy tries to take me out. I'm going to advance towards it. I want to give you guys an opportunity in this room to respond. And I don't know if it's outside of your comfort zone, but if it is, I want you to step outside of it. I want you to do it scared and do it anyway, because I believe that what you do in the boldness of God, it will only ever be glorified amongst heaven. And as we sit here in this place, I know that there's some of you in this place that maybe you can admit, like, unbelief, intimidation, short-sighted vision, those have been things that have kept me from being used by God. But tonight, I want to be able to step outside of that and say, you know what? That was a battle I used to struggle with, but it's not a battle I'm going to struggle with moving forward past this day. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to come up to the front. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, unbelief, intimidation, short-sighted vision, if that's you, I want you to come up to the front. We're going to pray over that. We're going to pray over that. The second person that I want to pray for is that if you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus, but tonight you're hearing this and you're like, whoa, I didn't even know like there was a battle on my life. Like, I didn't even know that there was territory for me to take, but I want to move forward in that. If that's you, I want you to come up to this front. And you've never said yes to Jesus, or maybe you're making a rededication and you're saying, God, I want to give you my life again, because the last time I made the decision, nothing changed in my life. But this time I'm making a decision and I'm making the choice for everything to change in my life. If that's you, with every head open, here we go, every eye lifted on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, if that's you and you're saying, you know what, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want you to come down here and join our friends. If not, you guys can come and get that later. But if you're in this room and the last person you're saying is, you know what, I want to be used by God like never before. Like, I'm ready. I'm so tired of games. I'm so tired of going along with like my cliche Christianity. Like, I am ready to be used by God. I am ready to take what he has destined for me. And I'm ready for that to become my life. If that's you, come and join us at the altar. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, anybody else that wants to come. Would everybody in this place bow their head and close their eyes? Jesus, right now, all over this place, God. God, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that there wouldn't be a single thing, Lord, that would keep us from being in your presence, God. Right now, I pray against any unbelief in this room, Lord Jesus. I pray against what the enemy has tried to confuse and what he has tried to alter in these students' lives, God. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that we'd be able to stand on your truth, Lord Jesus, that we'd be able to hold tight to what it is that you have for us, God. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that they would know your word so deeply that there would be no place for unbelief to rest in their life, God. God, I pray for the ones that feel intimidated. Lord Jesus, the ones that feel as if they're not going to be able to do what you've actually called them to. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that fear would go, that anxiety would go. Lord Jesus, the stress that they're carrying, it would fall off of them, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would give them this boldness to do it scared and to do it anyway, God. I pray that as they step out, even in their fear, Lord Jesus, that they would just begin to see new things come to life, God. They would see the prayers and the things that you focus for them, God. They'd be able to see those things begin to take deep roots in their life, Lord Jesus. I pray right now for the person that's just struggling to see correctly, where they're seeing through like men's perspective, or they're seeing with like short-sighted vision, God, or they have even this grasshopper complex that, God, what you've made for me, I'm not big enough for, I'm not strong enough for. God, we just say all of those things are not from you, God. I pray and speak truth over these students, Lord Jesus, that every single place that they walk, Lord Jesus, that there would be territory that is given. It says in Joshua 1 that every single step that you take your place, God, that where the Lord is, Lord Jesus, that those land would be given back to them. So Lord, I pray right now, God, as they move forward in confidence and boldness, Lord Jesus, that they would not feel like they are defeated all of the time, God. They would not feel as if they are far from you all the time, God. But instead, Lord Jesus, they would feel closer to you than ever before, Jesus. God, I pray right now for the student that just wants to be used by you but doesn't know what they're supposed to do. God, I pray in this moment, even as we sing this song, God, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, as we sing this song, Lord Jesus, that you would just begin to speak, God, what it is that you have for their life, Lord. God, you would bring clarity to their purpose, Lord. It says in your scripture in Jeremiah 13 that when you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me, Lord Jesus. I pray that these students would become students that seek you with all of their heart, God. They'd stop seeking other things, God, that are just nonsense. They'd stop tolerating other things that weren't from you, God, and there would be like a direct line of communication where they seek you, they find you. When they ask for you to move, God, they hear you, God. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that you would just be close to them, God. God, that you would use them in mighty ways, Jesus. You would use them in mighty ways. If that's you and you're just saying, you know what, I want to be used by God, we're going to sing this song. And I want you guys just to say, you know what, God, this is me. I'm going to ask for you. I'm going to seek you, Lord Jesus, and I'm going to believe that you're going to move. Let's sing.